Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm Sarah McDooling, and I'm here with the lovely Anastasia and the even lovelier Ben Podgy.
Even lovelier.
Even lovelier.
Yeah, you're lovelier than Anastasia.
Slam on you, Anastasia, frankly.
Sorry, I mean, we're friends and all, but Ben's just lovelier.
You're very clear. You're clear-eyed about your friends.
Ben, you are here today to talk about your upcoming book, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
I am, yes.
Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Now let me try to remember what it's about.
The spiel,
no,
right?
I wrote it ages ago. I don't even know what's in it. The book before this, last year, the book that I had out was called Error Australis, which was the history of Australia with jokes told from beginning to end. So Aussie, Aussie, Aussie is a tangent to that, in that it is a series of short biographies of prominent, interesting Australians, great figures of Australian history, some of which are very well known, some of which I think probably should be better known than they are.
Many of which are crowded on the amazing cover.
Yeah.
And again, with jokes and a general lack of respect. So that's it, really. It's a book of pen portraits of great Australians, for varying values of the word great.
Right. When you were doing the research for this book, did anyone surprise you with all the facts that you found out about them?
A few times I did. I was surprised, I think, by Carolyn Chisholm. Because I didn't know that much about her, and I think probably a lot of people don't know much about her, sort of know that she was a figure in colonial Australia who was charitable in some way and helped women. And get down to it, you realise she was so much more. She was this person of astounding energy who did so much. She helped out women migrating to Australia, single women. She helped them find them somewhere to live. She helped get them jobs. But she did so much more. She embarked on these massive projects to encourage families to migrate to Australia, to basically promote Australia as a place for British people to come. She had a huge endeavour collecting stories of migrants that she could take to England and say, this is what Australia's like. It's actually great. It's not... Because, this was, just a few decades after Australia had been established as the place where you send criminals to forget about them. Yeah. It was hell on earth. For the first Europeans in Australia, it was a horrible place to be. And that was the image he had. So she was promoting it because she thought that society in Australia would improve with more and more people coming here to make a new life, with more young families coming here, as opposed to...
More criminals
and fortune hunters and so forth. So she did this, and she rode herself around the countryside to get these stories. She was riding through the outback, all over the place. It's just a fascinating, the image I had of her, if I had any image of all, was of this demure woman from the $5 note, sort of standing on the docks handing out soup.
Yeah.
To people who arrived, whereas actually she was this complete, badass who just would not stop doing what she thought, and that was really awesome.
She sounds cool.
I think, she's one of those figures. I mean, everyone knows the name Carolyn Chisholm.
Yeah.
I'm not sure people understand exactly what she did and how... combative she was. Like she fought against authority. She was quite rebellious in that way. A woman in the 19th century.
It's especially courageous.
People often didn't take kindly to women trying to change things.
Having opinions.
Yeah, exactly. But she was that kind of woman who wouldn't take no for an answer, and she seemed to sort of just march around just badgering people until they figured out we will save a lot of time by doing what Carolyn wants.
I like the sound of this woman.
Yeah. She was great.
I'd like to know more about her because I'm one of the people who just vaguely knows that she was charitable and that's where my knowledge ends.
Yeah. And another one is Annette Kellerman, the Million Dollar Mermaid, who I knew was a sort of famous swimmer and who, in the course of research, I've discovered was also the first woman to appear nude in a film.
Oh, wow.
In a major Hollywood film. Amazing. I won't say the first ever to appear in a film. There were a lot of amateurs. But in a major Hollywood production, she was the first ever nude scene in a mainstream feature film. Was Australian Annette Kellerman in something like 1917, around that era.
Wow, that's a lot earlier than I would have thought.
Yeah. Sort of, it's interesting. There was this period of really early film where it was before the sort of the moralizers organized and inflicted standards. So the silent era was a lot more permissive than, say, the early talkies.
Oh, wow.
Because by the 1930s, there was like the Hays Code and authorities cracking down on immorality in movies. But before then, it was kind of the Wild West.
Yeah, like I'm a bit stunned that there was a nude scene in a movie in 1917.
Yeah, relatively demure. I mean, she had very long wig.
Covered everything.
Yeah, she was.
Was she playing Lady Godiva?
No, she was playing like a water nymph or a mermaid or something. And she, it was not you know a hustler style thing.
Right.
But she was full on, fully nude.
Wow. And Australian.
And Australian, so that's a landmark for us.
So that's what's great about this book. You learn about all these little things that you don't really find, you know, on Wikipedia or, you know, you don't just Google them and they pop up.
No, well, I hope that, I mean, I hate to say I want to educate, I don't really, I want to make people laugh, but it's kind of awesome that if people sort of looking to be entertained, sort of
also
learn a bit more, and maybe they'll be interested enough to get a more serious history book, and learn more real facts. Because of course, it's a bit of a surface look. I'm not delving too deeply into serious issues, but I like to think I'm revealing things that people don't think about that much about history.
Well, I certainly learnt a lot in Aero Australis while laughing a lot. I haven't read Aussie, Aussie, Aussie yet, but I have read the blurb. And can I make a really terrible, shameful confession about my lack of education? I had to Google Weary Dunlop because I did not know who that was. Is that awful? Is it as bad as I think it is?
It's awful. I'm surprised that that was the one you had to get. Like, there are definitely figures in the book that I would think a lot of people probably don't know who they are. I wouldn't have expected Weary Dunlop to be one of them.
But I knew everyone else mentioned on the blurb, but I was like,
I guess that just goes to show.
I mean, I thought it was a soldier just because of the era
we live in.
I mean, the context of when he's mentioned in the blurb, I'm like, he must be in a soldier, but I had not ever heard of him or been taught about him, or he'd never come up for me.
I mean, Weary Dunlop is interesting because the more you learn about him, the more perfect he seems. He's like just sickeningly good. And like a military hero who is not famous for fighting at all. I mean, he was an army doctor, an army surgeon, and he's just famous for caring for other people and
pretty
for,
good thing to be famous for.
You know, saving lives and helping a lot of men get through the worst possible situation a person can be in. And he took it on himself, basically. I'm getting rather serious here because I do make, you know, the chapter about Weary Dunlop, it still has jokes in it. But I'm genuinely in awe of the guy because he, in this situation, he didn't just find a way to survive and keep himself sane. He took it on himself. He took on the responsibility for the men around him that it would be his job to get them through.
Mm.
And it was quite astonishing. He, you know, there was one of his patients was the Japanese guards decided they were going to bayonet this guy in hospital bed, and Weary Dunlop actually stepped in front of them.
Oh my God.
And would not let them get to him. Basically, and you're going to have to go through me to get to him. And the guards backed off.
Oh, what a hero.
And this is like, I can't even imagine what sort of presence he must have had, and how the men around him must have seen him.
Yeah.
And the amazing, and then after the war, he kept on being great, you know, and he never spoke out against the Japanese, or, you know, as, you know, a lot of veterans quite understandably have resentment towards the people who were their enemies, and he somehow didn't see them as his enemies. Again, he saw no value in holding on to it, which was quite phenomenal.
Like, he had a lot of class. He was incredible. To read about it.
And before the war, he played rugby for Australia.
Oh wow!
So it's like he was quite astonishing, and he was, you know, it's like he wasn't a person where reading about him was a massive revelation. I knew he was an amazing person, but he's the kind of person where you, each new fact just increases the amazement in a way. So he's quite a phenomenal figure, not just in Australian history, of all the war heroes of every country. I think he's pretty high up.
I really look forward to reading that chapter as well, because he seems like such an impressive figure. I want to know how you made it funny.
I hope I did. Now that I'm thinking of it, how did I make it funny? I don't know.
Just one really serious chapter in the middle of the book.
Ben, thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Thank you.
If you're interested in Ben's first book, Aero Australis, or Aussie, 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 head on over to booktopia.com.au.
Please do. I've signed them just for you, so.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.